After a brief but failed flirtation with the idea of family entertainment, characterized by gaudy amusement park-styled attractions and decor, Vegas decimated the competition from Atlantic City and emerged from the recession in part by reinventing itself as the world's foremost adult amusement park, luring millions of conventioneers with a state-sanctioned lax attitude toward the sex industry and a new focus on the consumption-oriented middle class. The city built by gangsters became America's premier vacation and corporate conference destination. At the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, fueled by America's economic boom and lust for high living, a massive influx of corporate money spawned the Vegas we know today, an over-the-top world of excess and imagination. Beginning with Steve Wynn's Mirage, built in 1989, Vegas picked up where the MGM Grand of 1973 left off. Inaugurating a multi-billion dollar construction boom, the Mirage was a $650 million trip into fantasy. From the 54-foot erupting volcano out front, to illusionists Siegfried and Roy's secret garden attached to the pool, the Mirage reinvented the concept of the mega resort. But the Mirage was only the beginning. On its heels came Excalibur, Camelot brought to life. The Luxor, a massive black glass pyramid that would have made Ramses feel right at home. The Hard Rock, a sex-charged L.A. rock club gone kitsch. And New York, New York. The Big Apple, if it had been reimagined by Disney with buxom cocktail waitresses instead of college kids in mouse costumes. Culminating in the construction of the massive Bellagio and Venetian, costing $1.6 and $1.2 billion respectively. Vegas currently sported 19 of the world's 20 biggest hotels, hosting over 30 million visitors a year, generating $5 billion in gaming revenue, utilizing 16 miles of neon tubing, etc., etc., etc. Damon Szymanowski's simple statement pretty much covered it. On the exterior, Vegas is always changing. Inside, however, something about the town was still the same. It was this dichotomy that interested me, because in my mind, Kevin Lewis and his friends represented that very dichotomy, the flashy, modernized exterior concealing an inner dark core. At its heart, Damon continued, it's all about greed. We build the casinos because we want to take your money. You come here because you want to take our money. The rest is just window dressing. How we lure you in, how you justify it to yourself when you get back home. But it's not an even game, I said as a sound of gunfire suddenly echoed behind me. I glanced back, saw the kid in overalls standing in the last shooting stall. The casinos make sure the system is rigged in their favor. Damon laughed. That's the nature of the motherfucker. It's no different than any other business. You don't open a movie theater and let people in for free. You charge them for the entertainment. That's what Vegas does. The house's edge is the price of the movie ticket. I had heard this line of reasoning before, from an employee of the Nevada Gaming Commission. When you sat down to play blackjack, the casino was providing you with an entertainment service. You paid for that service by losing more than you won. People like Kevin Lewis were getting their entertainment for free, and then some.